Galatians chapter 2, we're starting in verse 11, this passage, just four verses here on our plate. The Bible says in Galatians 2, verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So this passage we're seeing tonight, it's about hypocrisy. And don't be a hypocrite. And I would say this, if the Apostle Peter, if the guy that walked on water and walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and preached and 3,000 people got saved, if he could become a hypocrite, I think probably all of us have played the hypocrite at one time or another. And we're all susceptible to falling into that trap. Now, in the Bible, the word that's used here that's not often said or in people's vocabulary is verse 13. The last word of verse 13 is dissimulation. Now, that's a word that's describing what we would understand as hypocrisy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation." In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 42, verse 20, the Bible gives you, it's his own dictionary and commentary. If you just read all the words dissembled in the Bible and the context, you'd get that understanding of hypocrisy. But in Jeremiah 42, there were some people that came to the prophet and they said, "Oh, we want to know what God said. Please tell us exactly what God said, and we'll do whatever God said." But the Bible said they dissembled in their hearts. In other words, they weren't being honest. They were just going through this motion of feigning to be spiritually minded, but it was a lie. They didn't really give a flip what God wanted them to do. They had their own agenda. They were hypocritical coming to the prophet Jeremiah and asking him for prayer. And so here we have a subject of hypocrisy, and it's going to be dealt with. And the Bible lets us know it's a sin. Hypocrisy is just as much a sin as any other sin in the Bible. And the sin of hypocrisy deserves to be rebuked. It deserves to be rebuked. And we see that here in verse number 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." You know, you'll never get too big to be rebuked. You know, Peter, people try to, you know, the Catholic Church try to say that Peter was the first pope. Well, I tell you what, I've studied it enough, and I wouldn't put too much confidence in that guy. You need to have somebody else you need to look to besides Peter, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter failed so many times, he's just like all of us here. There was nothing sinless about Peter. There was nothing as the vicar of Christ, as they would say. He deserved to be rebuked. I wonder who rebukes the Pope today. I wouldn't think anybody would try to do that in the Catholic Church. Maybe a Baptist preacher would do that, then, but he probably wouldn't get the audience to be able to do that. Even political leaders, they go, you know, like he is so much more holy. Somebody needs to rebuke the man. Somebody needs to rebuke the man for his false doctrine. And Peter was not too big to be rebuked, though he was great. He was a great man. He was a God. You know, sometimes we put people on so big of a pedestal that we think they can't be rebuked or corrected. You know, sometimes you put yourself on that pedestal. That book says, "Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear." That's 1 Timothy 5:20. And he talks about the elders. He says, you know, if the elders sin, they're to be rebuked as well. There's nobody above rebuke. So wherever you are in your Christian life, Submit yourself to correction. Submit yourself to rebuke. You can always tell somebody's heart. You can tell if they're a hypocrite is when they get rebuked and they puff up and get mad and they don't like it. You know, we get mad when we get rebuked. It just shows us that our opinion of ourselves is so high. What do you mean? I couldn't have done anything wrong. That's why preaching is out of style. Because that book says the preaching is supposed to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So if people aren't willing to be rebuked, we're not going to have too good of a preaching service. Because that's just part of life. Because all of us have things that need to be corrected. So we're never too big to be rebuked. You're never too spiritual to fall. You're never so spiritual that you can't do something that is just totally and utterly hypocritical. Peter's not the only case. I mean, look at David. David, the man after God's own heart. I mean, the giant slayer, you know. So we need to have a sensitive heart and say, Lord, is there something hypocritical in my life? So he rebukes him to the face. Now, look at verse 11 again. So the sin of hypocrisy deserves rebuke. But when Peter was come to Antioch, verse 11, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. You know, that doesn't play very well in our culture. People won't take that very well if you go to their face and tell them actually what you think. Actually, the world thinks that's a very hateful thing to do. And the world thinks that rebuking to the face is hateful because they're ignorant. And they don't know the truth. You know, Paul was Peter's best friend. Paul helped Peter out. Paul was a great blessing in Peter's life by doing this. And so he did it to his face. I tell you this, I have so much more respect for someone that will come to my face and disagree with me in love and even correct me in love instead of just patting me on the back and it's all right and going behind my back and stabbing me with knives in front of other people. But see, our society's not like that. They'd rather people be stabbed in the back than be withstood to the face. Some of the best friends I've had have been people that withstood me to the face. Amen. And even if I didn't agree with what they said, I'm not going to puff up like a blowfish or something like that. You know, I'm going to listen. You need to listen. And that's what Paul did. You know, Peter could have said, you ever walked on the water? He hadn't. Son, I've raised people from the dead. Do you know who you're talking to? Peter didn't take that attitude. What is your act? Will you let somebody withstand you to the face without getting so upset? I say this, we just need to keep it real, guys. And this Paul going to Peter's face, that's keeping it real. In other words, what he had in his heart, and he knew there was something wrong, not right between him and Peter, so he went to his face. He kept it real. He wasn't going to say, oh, Peter, you're the greatest, and yet in his heart think, man, what a hypocrite he is. No, he went to his face to get it right. And he withstood him to the face. Paul had no animus against Peter. Paul was not hateful to Peter. What's wrong with the world? They think if you preach hard, or if you boot somebody, or if you discipline somebody, or if you bring up a sin in public, that you're hateful. Just look at it. Look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, look at your Bible, I said unto Peter, what does it say? Before them all, he did this publicly. This was so it wasn't just to his face, it was in front of everybody. I tell you what, that's not how to win friends and influence enemies, is to do that. But Paul is just real, you understand? He's keeping it real. Okay, Peter, you did this in front of everybody. I'm going to do this in front of everybody. You know, public sin deserves a public rebuke. We've done that here in the past at the church, and we'll do it in the future in the church. It's sad to do it, but that's not hateful, and it's not a lack of love. It's trying to keep it real. It's trying to keep it honest. It's trying to obey the Bible. Now, why was Peter, and by the way, Peter took it well. He took it well. Paul and Peter had a good relationship. Look at up there in Galatians chapter 1, Paul had gone to his house. Look at that. Remember that? Galatians 1:18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Peter, to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. I mean, this is his buddy. He stayed 15 days with him, chapter 1. And now in chapter 2, he's in his face and he's rebuking him. You know what we have a hard time doing? We have a hard time rebuking people that we want to have favor with, that we want to have a good relationship with. But the best relationship in the world is keeping it real, is to be honest, is not to be a hypocrite about it. And he told him right to his face. They had a good relationship. And you know what? You know, to Peter's credit, they had a good relationship after this. You can always tell somebody how spiritual they are, how they take rebuke. Hold your finger out. I'll just show it to you. When Peter ends his life, look at what he writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. He writes about the Apostle Paul. The one that withstood him to the face and rebuked him in front of everybody. Now, you know what we'd have done? We'd have got Paul aside and said, now, brother, okay, you didn't have to do that in front of everybody. Right? Come on now. Peter, you should. Paul, why did you do that in front of everybody? You know, that made me look bad. Well, what he did was bad in front of everybody. That's why he did that publicly. It wasn't to hurt him. It was to help him. And Peter was a real Christian. He took it right on the chin. And he didn't get mad at the guy that called him out in front of everybody. And at the end of his life, when he writes his last words, Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Look at it. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And he compliments Paul. In verse 16, he says that he was writing the Scriptures and he's elevating the Apostle Paul and he appreciates the Apostle Paul, even though Paul was the one that called him out in front of everybody and rebuked him. And he ends his life and he elevates Paul and says, man, he's a good man. I love him. I love him. He's my beloved brother. Can you love somebody that rebukes you? If you can't, you can't love Jesus. All right, go back to Galatians 2. Why was Peter a hypocrite? Why did that happen? In verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. What's that next word? Fearing them which were of the circumcision. So, the reason that Peter became hypocritical is because he was afraid of what his BFFs would think when they came to town and he was sitting down with the Gentiles. In other words, he was saving face. He was playing both ends to the middle. He was having a good time with the Gentiles that loved Jesus and were part of the body of Christ. He was having a good time with them. But when they of the circumcision, when the Jewish brethren came, he got up and left them because he wanted to please and impress them. And he knew he couldn't do that with the Gentiles. And because of his fear of man, you know the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what one of the snares is? It'll make you a hypocrite. It'll make you say things you don't even believe in front of other people so you might win their attention and win their praise and win their friendship. It'll cause you to play favorites with people. God forgive us. Look, you know what? You know what's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, sin is when you can only eat in fellowship with people like you are. Peter knew that these Gentiles were saved, born again, loved God. But he wanted to save face with all these. He wanted to impress them, you see. And when we try to impress other people, we become hypocrites. I'm just telling you. Whether you're a teenager, there's a lot of hypocrisy with teenagers. They'll be whatever they need to be in front of the one they want to win at the time. And I don't know where they learned that. Maybe from the adults. I'm not sure, but people like to impress other people and they become hypocrites. They'll say whatever they need to say. They'll do whatever they need to do. Because they're afraid. They're afraid of being rejected with this crowd. Peter was afraid to be rejected with these people. It's like, remember when he betrayed the Lord? When he denied the Lord? You remember when he denied the Lord those three times? When he's in the garden with Jesus and the apostles, he's cutting people's ears off, man. But when he's at the fire with the dirty Roman people, he's cursing and swearing. Looks like he had that little line of problem in his life, right? And the thing was, he was afraid. He was afraid of popular opinion. And so he gets up from the table where he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, let's look at that just a minute. Let's define this hypocrisy that he's doing. In verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. You know, Jews and Gentiles weren't supposed to fellowship together under Judaism. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Now, that's not Christian separation from sin. He's separating from good brethren. You know, some separation's wicked. Some separation's hypocrisy. He's separating from people that love the Lord, separating from people he's fellowshipping with, but separating because he knows this other crowd doesn't want him to eat with them. Now, what's he doing eating with them? Look at verse 14. I think this is astonishing. 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews. You know what Paul said? He said, Peter, I know how you live. Peter, I know you. I know ever since Acts 10, you like a good pork barbecue sandwich. And can you imagine the first time a Jew had to cross that line with that piece of bacon on the plate? He'd been taught all his life, that's a sin, you can't eat that. And Jesus Christ had to appear to him and said, hey, don't call anything unclean common. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Eat whatever you want to eat. Amen. Every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving and prayer. You know, can you imagine the first time that Jew got a good piece of catfish in his mouth? Can you imagine? I mean, he hadn't been eating lamb, you know, and roebuck and all that kind of stuff, and he had to watch. But boy, I mean, the first time he reached over there and got him a good lobster tail, amen, that he couldn't eat, or some crab legs or shrimp. And can you imagine it? He had a wrestling match in his own heart, you know. He was raised from a kid. You can't touch this. But the first time, I bet the first shrimp he got in his mouth, he was saying, praise God. I bet the first piece of ham he ever ate, he said, my soul. And you know what he started doing after that? Listen now. He started living. You see the verse? He started living after the manner of the Gentiles. So listen, it's not just that he sat down to the table with these Gentiles and ate one meal. He had been living that way. When he experienced the freedom, brother, he went. I mean, when it was the Sabbath day, he was cooking in his house. Right. I just want to go on record. I thank God I'm not a Jew. And I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't keep the Sabbath. I still turn my oven on Saturday and Sunday, praise the Lord. I don't have dietary laws and restrictions. I live according to the Old Testament. And I bet Peter just had a ball living now. Can you imagine what it must have felt like? And he's sitting down there. I bet he had them big old number 12s up there on the table, Simon. And he was just having a big, big feast with those Gentile brethren. Woo! Isn't it great to be? He's just having a good time. And all of a sudden, the guys from the synagogue started walking down the road. Oh, excuse me, guys. I got to go take a phone call. Hippo critter. And he pushed away from the table and he left the table. And he says, you know, you live one way in front of them and now you live in a different way in front of these other people. And the rest of verse 14, if you'd look at it, he says, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, I don't think Peter got up and said, now, you Gentiles shouldn't be eating this. Because remember, and this is all part of the hypocrisy. The whole setting of this is Acts chapter 15. He had already agreed with the Apostle Paul that the Gentiles didn't have to do all those things. I mean, he had just, is it verse 9 right there in the same chapter? That he had just given Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Cephas there. Go get him. It's okay. And part of that whole hypocrisy there is that his testimony to those Gentile brethren is, you guys aren't good as these guys. And I've got to leave your company and go with them because their lifestyle is holier than yours and better than yours. So that wasn't true. And really, by his example, not his words, he compelled them. I bet those Gentile brethren thought, well, do we need to live like Jews too? Is that a better life? Do we need to start keeping the Ten Commandments? And that's one of the whole points of the book of Galatians in this. God didn't want you to be a Jew. You don't have to impress anybody else. You need to impress God with your life. And so the hypocrisy was, Peter had enjoyed this lifestyle, and yet in front of somebody else, he lived a different lifestyle. You know, that's what hypocrisy is, church. Hypocrisy is a lot of things. Hypocrisy is living one way in front of one group of people and another way in front of another group of people. Acting one way at church, and then acting a different way at the house. We need to keep it real.
Amen.
We need to be the same person that loves God and the same lifestyle in the church house than we are at our house. Don't be a hypocrite. I think it's hypocritical that some people, the only time they dress modestly is when they go to the church house. Well, what's the use? Awful quiet there, but... Why have one lifestyle in front of one group of people and a different lifestyle in front of a different group of people? I want to keep it real. Whenever anybody sees me, I want them to know this is really who he is. These are the things that he really believes. That this is the way he really lives all the time. I'll tell you something else that's hypocritical. Look at the depths of hypocrisy people go to. In Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 4. We preached on this when we were there. Galatians 2, 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You remember when we preached on that? Listen. In the name of religious purity, they became peeping Toms. Now, you tell me how hypocritical that is. Wanting to hold up the true religion and we're spying on how somebody is when they're undressed in the bathroom or in the privacy of their house. That's pretty hypocritical. It's just like when they took Jesus off the cross. Remember that? You talk about hypocrisy. The Jews says, we got to get the bodies down off the cross because we have a holy feast day coming up. You bloodthirsty hypocrite. You're observing these Jewish feast laws as something holy, and you murdered a man at the same time. Pretty big hypocrisy. It was hypocrisy for Peter to get up from the table. I took my pen and I just jotted down a few of the things that, you know, we can get on Peter, but we got to watch it. Sometimes we're hypocritical too. Here's what I wrote down. Hypocrisy is going to a Bible-believing church continually, and yet you have no relationship with God personally. In other words, it's just going through some kind of a spiritual motion here, but that's not anything way your life really is. Isn't that a little hypocritical? for me to pray here, but never pray there. For me to have a Bible here, but never need it the rest of the week. For me to sing to Jesus here. Guys, I really hope you don't just sing to Jesus when you walk in here. I really hope that's not true. I hope you don't just thank God when you come. We need to keep it real. Hypocrisy. You know, here we got these. Some people say, well, I don't go to church because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Let me give you this one. Hypocrisy is saying you are a Christian and yet never go to church. That is hypocrisy in itself.
Yeah.
Don't call your, a person should never call themselves a Christian and yet they don't want anything to do with the Christian experience. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is declaring that you love God, but you won't tithe, pray, or witness to anybody. Hypocrisy, listen, is thinking you love people, but you won't tell them the truth or witness to them. Hypocrisy is living and declaring for years that you believe the Bible and the truths of it, and yet you'll change all of that over the circumstances that come about in your life or family. One or the other was hypocritical. Right? If you grew up all your life in a Bible-believing church and this was your lifestyle, and then in whatever circumstances happened and you changed all that, one or the other individuals is a hypocrite. Hypocrisy, I'll give you a little break here. Hypocrisy is telling everybody to believe women's Me Too movement unless it's against a Democrat. Is that not blatant hypocrisy? Always believe a woman unless it's those people. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is railing at rich people and promoting socialism while being a millionaire and own two or three houses. I told you I'd give you a little break. I'll give you another break. Hypocrisy is flying around the world in a private jet while telling the world they need to reduce their carbon footprint to save the world from global warming. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is acting like you love the Bible, but you're bored to death when it's preached. Isn't that hypocritical? Listen, hypocrisy is praying to God about things, but all the while determined to do your own will. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is being embarrassed of holiness around your cool friends. Hypocrisy is staying, listen, hypocrisy is staying in the pew when God has spoken to your heart so you'll look like you're right with God instead of going to the altar and getting it right. Hypocrisy is declaring that I love God and yet not keeping His commandments. Hypocrisy, listen now, hypocrisy is singing hymns out of the hymn book at church, but once you leave church, all you love is secular and liberal music. It's a little hypocritical. The whole point is, it's acting one way at one place and a different. You know what? I want to keep it real. I don't want to be this. This deserves facial rebuke. I don't like people getting in my face. But that's what hypocrisy deserves. Yeah. Well, I'll give you one other thing. We'll be finished since we're having a wonderful time together. But that's it's the next verses. Look, you know what God... Listen. You know who God blesses? People that are real and genuine. And I'm telling you what, We got stuff as fake as a $3 bill, brother. And I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be that way. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather get on a plane, go halfway around the world, and quit playing the game. I'm not interested in that. Too serious to me. I want to be real. Amen. That's why I'm not into fake eyelashes and eyebrows and fingernails, amen, and fake hair. If there's one reason that my hair is gray, is I'm keeping it real. That's right. It's real, brother. You're not going to have to guess and pull on it and say, is there a wig there? Now, maybe I tread a little bit farther there, but what I'm trying to say is I don't want to present myself as somebody I'm not. You know why some people have nervous breakdowns? Because they're trying to be somebody that they're not. You know what God wants you to be? God wants you to be a real Christian. He wants you to love God, put Him first in your life, and don't worry about all that other stuff. And if nobody likes you and everybody hates you, God loves you. Be honest. Now, while Peter left the table, I said, okay, Peter, we're going to eat your barbecue sandwich, buddy. Have fun with your lentils. Yeah. Be a hypocrite. And when you come back, your plate's gone. No, you come back to my table. I've killed enough hogs for you, Peter. Go back and eat your deer meat. Yeah. And don't turn on your stove now on Saturday. No, I'm a little bit too cynical over that. But I tell you what, I'm finished. This is the worst part of hypocrisy. It's not what it does to you. It's what it does to somebody else. And the reason that we need to keep it real is not just for us and not just for Jesus, but for somebody else that's watching us. Look at it with me, verse number 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Oh, we got some new information. It was not just Peter at the table with these Gentiles enjoying the shrimp cocktail and the catfish. No, no. The other Jews were sitting there with him too. They were saved. And Barnabas, the great Barnabas, who was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost and was the partner of the Apostle Paul, right? The partner of the Apostle Paul to do what? To reach the Gentiles. He was reaching the world. He was a missionary. And Barnabas, great man. He was the one that took Paul and nobody wanted him because he was the outcast, right? And when Peter got up off that table and left, when those of the circumcision came, the other Jews said, well, okay guys, you know, we know how great Peter is. We need to go with him. I mean, this is the great preacher of Pentecost. If it's good for Peter, we're going to follow Peter. I mean, they've been in church all their life. If they're going that way, let's just go that way too. I guess it's all right. They're respected in the community. Everybody knows who they are. If they agree with it, if they think it's all right, well, I guess it must be okay. We'll just follow in that line. It's not just about how it destroys you. It's about who it affects besides you. And a whole bunch of people got up from the table because Peter got up from the table and was a hypocrite. And one of them was Barnabas. And listen, I won't go here, but here's what I want to say to you. I want to tell you how dangerous this is because this was very hurtful. You understand? This made those Jewish brethren look like they were second-class citizens. Made them look like that they were some, you know, stepchildren in God's family. You're over there. You're not. It hurt. And the context of this is Acts 15. Remember that? Now come here. I'm going to be finished. I'm going to show you how frustrated and upset I think God got about this matter, which seems like a little thing, but hypocrisy is not a little thing. God wants you to be real. This happens in the context of Acts chapter 15. I challenge you to get your Bible and go from Acts 15 to the end of the book of Acts, which is a history of the church. You know what you don't find? You don't find one more mention of the Apostle Peter. Not one more sermon he preached. Not one more miracle he performed. Nothing. From the day he got up and left that table, God doesn't write anything about him. Also, you know what? Acts chapter 15 is the context of this. Barnabas, the great Barnabas that gave his money and sold that land and helped the Apostle Paul. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. What a man Barnabas was. But he got up at the table and said, if it's good for Peter, it's good for me. And he walked away. You know what else happened in Acts chapter 15? He and the Apostle Paul split. And from that point on in the book of Acts, you never read about Barnabas again in the Bible. I'm not saying that they were on the shelf. They never did. I don't know what they did. But the Holy Ghost never picked up his pen again and wrote one more thing after Acts 15 about Peter and Barnabas. Nothing. You know why? Because God said this. You got to keep it real. And when you don't, you hurt people. And God's not into that. And the liberal crowd that doesn't know anything about God would say the hurtful thing was the rebuke to Peter in front of everybody and not the fact that Peter got up from the table. You understand? And I'm telling you what, God becomes the bad guy when the bad guy is the hypocrisy. Keep it real.